Hello, and welcome to Unstuffing Our Story with me, Catrice Horsley. So, I thought I would start the podcast off by introducing myself and perhaps explaining a little bit about why I started this podcast in the first place. So a little bit about me, and it won't take long because I'm only 4'11". I am a Brummie, that means a person who was born in Birmingham in the United Kingdom. And I have lived for 6 years in Ghana in West Africa and currently reside in Sweden. So I've lived in three different countries, been in the middle of three different sets of cultural narratives, and I suppose in my life, I've always been involved in narrative and storytelling in some way, whether it was being fed stories as a child from my parents and grandparents and aunties and uncles, whether it was performing stories around the world at international storytelling festivals, or whether it has been working with organisations or neighbourhoods or individuals in helping them create new stories about themselves and explore some of the negative stories they carry and why they carry them and where those negative stories came from. So that's who I am, in a nutshell. And why have I decided to do the podcast? Well, I think it's because I've lived in different countries and I've been part of different cultures, even as an outsider. You become more aware, I suppose, of your own cultural heritage when you are living in the culture of another country. And when I lived in Britain, I'd always felt myself a little bit overweight. I'm quite small and I'm not skinny. I always thought I was slightly more voluptuous, with the emphasis on the lump, than I was voluptuous. And I was always quite pale. My dad's Irish heritage guy, and my skin never tanned. And I even took a false tan to Ghana with me because I felt so negative about my white skin. And this was way before I understood colonial narratives or the concepts of white privilege. It's been a journey and I'm still on it. So anyhow, I went to live in Ghana and it was around about 1989 to 1991, the first 3 years. And it was right up in the north of Ghana in a place called Bolgatanga. And when I went to live there, people would come up to me and say, "Hey, you're looking fat today." And that was a huge compliment. And I couldn't understand how fat could be beautiful, because as far as I was concerned, fat was always ugly. You know, that was the story that was around in the UK. And also, I would literally sit there trying to get a tan with some kind of cooking oil on my skin, probably on the cabbage soup diet. Probably didn't smell very good, you know, the whole area around me. And my Ghanaian friend, Yusula, she would come and visit with skin bleach on. And she would quite often eat something called kossi, which are deep fried bean cakes and very fattening. Because essentially she wanted to be fat and pale. And I wanted to be skinny and brown. And there was one of those eureka moments where you think, "Well, this is a crock of shite." You know, who decided? Who is it who decides what beauty is? And I think that was kind of the start of me realizing that stories aren't just fairy tales and things found in books. They are around us the whole time. They are like the sea that we swim in, and we're not aware of them. And especially as children, we're not aware of them. So in my work using stories, I kind of use three different types of stories. I explore traditional stories to help us understand that nothing that's happening is actually new. So all the old traditional stories I look at. I look at personal stories, and these are the stories that were told mostly by our parents and our teachers. And we never question them because we're kids at that age and we think that grown-ups know more than us. And then I also explore cultural and social narratives. And those are the stories of a community. So I was brought up on the council estate in the north of Birmingham. And high status, if you got high status, it wasn't really dependent on whether you got a degree. It was more dependent on, I don't know, if you could fix a car, or sometimes even if you could break into the back of the meter on the television set. Some of the television sets, if you couldn't afford to buy one, you would rent it and you put money in the back of the meter. So I look at cultural and social narratives as well. And as children, as I say, we tend to swallow these stories without questioning them. So teachers or parents might regard us as too noisy or too quiet or too shy or too boisterous, or people might say we're too curly, too straight, too tall, too short, too fat, too thin, too pale, too dark. You'll hear stories about how you're such a good girl and you'll always get A stars. Or he's more sports orientated, you might hear. And we just hear those stories and swallow them. We never go up to our parents and say, I'm going to challenge that story you're telling about me because I think it's pretty limited and limiting. We just swallow them. And they almost become the marrow of our later identities. We stop questioning them. I mean, we never questioned them to begin with. So we carry these personal stories. And then on top of that, we have these cultural narratives and social narratives that give us ideas of what is high status, what is low status, and give us histories as well that were written down by people who wanted us to believe a certain thing about way, way back then. And a lot of those people who wrote the stuff down happen to be white males. Got nothing against white males, but we have to accept that a lot of history was written by the conquerors, while, as they say, the people who were conquered just sang the blues. So in my work, I do a lot of that and that exploration. And I also, within my own life, continue to explore why I believe certain things that I do. And it all comes down to stories. And so I started the podcast because I thought it was kind of about time that we challenged those people who had made up these stories. I wasn't at the committee where they decided what beauty was or what professionalism was. I wasn't at that meeting, and I think I should have been, because I might have given an alternative. And I wanted people to realise how powerful these things are in forming our identity and our behaviours and our views of others. I've been lucky enough and so bloody fortunate in meeting really incredible people. And I hope that you, the listener, will meet some of my friends and these incredible people that I've met in my life when I do the interviews. And sometimes I've worked in prisons with the inmates there. And there was one woman in one high security prison who I was talking to. And she came out with this incredibly beautiful comment and this piece of wisdom that just dropped from her tongue like a golden shiny coin, and that was immeasurably profound. And I remember sharing this with somebody and they said, oh yeah, that's Socrates. And I was like, what? No, I don't think this woman's ever read Socrates. I think actually that knowledge came from that woman. I mean, Socrates might have said it as well, but he's not the definer of it, and we shouldn't use him as the definer of it. So it annoyed me that she couldn't own her own story and her own wisdom without it being taken back to some guy many, many years ago. So, yeah, I suppose I'm a little bit frustrated a little bit irritated with the fact that we are told stories about ourselves. We are told what it is to be successful or not successful by people who basically are the ones who make us feel pretty shit about ourselves in order to sell us stuff to make us feel better about ourselves, but they're the ones who have decided. Do you get what I mean? So that's why I started the podcast. I wanted us to become aware of the stories we carry and the stories that exist, from colonial narratives to social narratives to cultural narratives to community narratives. And I'm going to bring in people and guests who have perhaps been able to change a narrative that they lived in. Perhaps they were told because of the colour of their skin and their socioeconomic background that they would only end up doing a certain type of job, and suddenly they became incredibly well-known, successful, and totally turned that story on its head. I remember working in one of the schools from the area that I grew up in on the council estate. And the teachers there, they didn't know that I'd come from that area. And it had quite a bad reputation, I suppose. Anyhow, I think it was at the time when I was recognised as an international narrative consultant. I might have been the National Storytelling Laureate at that time as well. I can't quite remember. But it was during a break and I was in the staff room, and one of the teachers came in and said something quite negative about one of the students in their class. And one of the other teachers turned round and said, "Well, what do you expect with a kid from this area?" And I was so shocked. And I said to them, "I come from this area. I'm from this area. And I'm an international narrative consultant who's travelled the world. And I'm going to train all of you later on how to become better teachers. This is what I expect from children from this area. And how dare you expect any less?" And for me, that situation highlighted that it's not just individuals that carry stories, it's also communities and neighbourhoods and organisations that can carry really negative narratives that will alter behaviour and alter how people view them. I didn't even know I lived on a council estate until I started working there, and then I had to read reports about the council estate being an area of high social deprivation with many problem families. I just called it home, and undoubtedly my family was going to be classed as one of those problem families. To have somebody tell your story when they have not lived your life, and tell the story of your community when they have never lived there, that stuck in my craw somehow and still does. Perhaps that's why we need to find our voices and tell our stories, because other people's stories of us have been pushed down our throats so much that we have lost our voices or we cannot believe them anymore. So during the podcasts, I'm going to invite in incredible guests who are going to help us, and these are people who are working, as I said, with individuals, with communities, neighborhoods, and organizations. I suppose in story terms, they're our helpers. They're the ones who will give us the magic gifts that we need on our quest to start to become the narrators of our own lives. And on this quest, on this story together, we're also going to become aware of the monsters and the beasts that we have to battle. And they will range from false news to the demons that lie in our computers to the headlines in the newspapers. And we have to become aware of those. But with the guests on the show, I think we've got a good chance of defeating them. And these guests who you are going to meet, I tell you, I'm so excited about them. There are people who are gay, people who are straight, people who are Muslim and Sikh and Catholic and Christian and Buddhist and people of colour and the whole range of humanness with all perspectives and all delights and all possibilities will be here to help us on our journey together. So let us try and find a story that will act like a golden thread and pull us through the dark, scary fairy tale forest of our lives until we can reach some kind of happy ever after on the other side. Join me on our journey together. Join me in unstuffing our stories.